In Berditchev, in the time of the great Tzaddik Levi Yitzchak, Berditchever was a man that nobody liked him because they said, this is the stingy man. The stingy man, stingy means he does not like to spend any money. He does not like to share his money. He lived in a big, beautiful house, and everyone knew, or else they thought he was anyway, that he was a big millionaire man, but he never liked to spend money, and if somebody came for tzedakah, he just gave him a few pennies. Shh. And this is the stingy man, and people did not like him. One day he became old. One day the stingy man passed away. They make, of course, a levaya. And the chevra kadisha, who take care of burying a person, they went to the relatives and the children, and they said, it's written down in our book that the man who passed away, nobody ever paid money for the kever, for the grave. In other words, this man had already arranged that he should be buried in the Yiddish Beis HaKfaris, and he already prepared the piece of ground that he wanted, which was in a very nice place in the Beis HaKfaris, and no money was ever paid for it. So, somebody has to pay. The man who passed away cannot pay, so the family has to pay. Now, like their father, it seems, the children also didn't like to spend any money, and they said, how much money do we have to pay for our father's kever? And the Chevra Kadisha said how much money it was. Let's say it was 100 rubles. No. We're not going to pay so much money. We don't want to pay no money. In fact, no. We don't want to pay for that, no. Now, of course, everyone has to pay the Chevra Kadisha. And if they don't pay, well, they have to put him somewhere in the Beis HaKfaris, but it's not going to be in that nice part. And this was a very rich man we're talking about who wanted to be buried in a nice part of the Beis HaKfaris, but the family didn't want to pay. And the Chevra Kadisha didn't know what to do. So they decided to go to the great Tzaddik, Levi Yitzchak or Berditchev, to ask him what to do. As soon as Levi Yitzchak or Berditchev found out that this man passed away, immediately he broke down crying, "Oy, such a special man, he passed away." He says, don't ask any money from the family. Whatever they want to give, even if they want to give a little bit, just accept it. This is a special man, and I myself am going to go to his levaya. And of course, everybody sees that something special is going on over here, because Levi Yitzchak Berditchev did not go to every levaya. And if he went to a levaya, it was a special person. And here he says, this is a special man. And this was a man that nobody liked, and they always didn't have a nice word to say about him. Shh. And everybody was curious to find out, how is this such a special man? And Levi Yitzchak Berditchev said that three times this man came to me in a Din Torah, and each time he won the Din Torah. And Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, after the Levaya, he told the people three stories about this man. And these are the stories that Bezer Hashem you're going to hear. The first Din Torah goes like this. Okay, there was a man in Berditchev, and this was his job, that he would buy wine for the wine stores. He went to the first wine store in Berditchev, and they gave him a bag of money, and they said, we need 100 bottles of wine for our wine store. You please go in your wagon and you get us the bottles of wine. And he would take the bag of money and he would go to a big wine store far away in the city, and he would buy the wine for the store, and when he would come back, they would pay him for the job that he would bring the wine. Now, since he had a nice big wagon and he wanted to make money for his family, he didn't just go to one wine store. He went to a second wine store and got a bag of money, and a third wine store, and he went to all the wine stores in Bedichev, and now he had all this money. And of course, the money didn't belong to him. He was just carrying it to buy the wine for the wine stores. And he would go to the big city, and there was a big, big wine store that had so many bottles of wine that even the stores bought from. And he would give all that money, fill the wagon with bottles of wine, go back to the stores, and each store, when he would give them their wine, they would pay him for the job. And that would be his money. So right now, he is going now to the big, big city with a lot of money to buy wine. One time in the big city, by the big wine store, this man from Bedichev went to buy wine for all the stores, and he goes in and he orders a few hundred bottles of wine, and they're loading it onto his wagon, and it's time to pay, and he reaches into his pocket to pull out a bag of money, and all of a sudden he says, huh, where's the bag of money? Must be in my other pocket. Huh. It's not in this pocket either. Maybe it's in my side pocket. Huh. Oh no, where is it? Maybe it fell out of my wagon. Huh. It's not on my wagon. Maybe it fell on the floor of the wagon. Huh. Oh no, the money, so much money, thousands of rubles, it's gone. And Kinalach, when a person gets very, very sad, very suddenly, and very scared, it can be very, very not good for his health and be very dangerous for his health, a sudden scare, a terrible thing. And he fell down and fainted on the floor. And people came running over to try to help him. And they poured some water on him. And they got him up. And as soon as he got up, he remembered, "Hi, the money, it's gone!" And he fainted again. He fell down on the floor, fainted. And each time they got him up, as soon as he remembered the money that was gone, he fainted. And they got a doctor, because there was a big crowd of people that gathered in the street in the city, and one of them was a doctor. And the doctor came in and he said, "This man is in a very dangerous way, because if he keeps fainting, it's very dangerous." And the people said, "Give him medicine." Well, the doctor gave him medicine. He couldn't even really open his mouth. He was fainted. They gave him a shot. The shot didn't help. And the doctor said, "There's only one thing that can help him now, and that is to get the money back. And if he does not get the money back, his life is in danger. Chas v'shalom, he might have a terrible thing happen to his life, because he is in such a state of shock," it's called. Now, Kinalach, the crowd got bigger and bigger. Everybody wants to see what happens. Shh. Of course, actually, it's good to say right here, since this is a yeshiva, and we're teaching the Kinalach Torah and how to behave themselves. If something is happening in the street, because sometimes there might be an emergency, or there might be police, or a big crowd, the best thing for you to do is stay away and not go into a big crowd to see what's happening. Because if it is an emergency, they don't need a bunch of people standing around to block the way. It's better, actually, if you see an emergency, especially with police or fire engines or something, to stay away from there so you don't get in the way. Anyway, I just thought I might say that it's important for you to know. But over here, you know, there was a crowd of people. Curious is good, but not always, you know, do you have to go and follow your curiosity, as we know from Adam and Chava. Anyway, All of a sudden, a man came out of the crowd and he said, I found the money. I found the money. Here it is. Now, this happened to be the man that passed away in the beginning of our story that we are calling the stingy man. And he all of a sudden steps forth with a bag of money and he says, I found the money. And people say, yay, somebody found the money. And the person on the floor that fainted, the wine man, all of a sudden heard the words, the money, the money. And he got up and he looked and he saw the money and his health, gesund, came right back to him and he was so happy. And Kinalach, this was the man who we're talking about, who passed away. Now, there was somebody else in that crowd that we didn't tell you yet about, who watched the whole thing. There's somebody else in that crowd, Kinalach, who was trying to keep the surprise off of his face, and he was trying to keep his eyes that they shouldn't pop out of his head and keep his mouth from opening wide. And that was another man who also had a bag of money in his pocket. A big bag of money in his pocket. In fact, as much money as the man just gave the wine man. Because this was a man who really found the bag of money. There was a man who really did find the money. And his Yetzirah told him to keep it for himself. And he was just watching. He was watching the wine man fainting, and he still was not giving back the money, until all of a sudden, a complete stranger, out of nowhere, who did not find the money, who was this man who we are calling the stingy man, he came and gave a bag of money, which was his own money, thousands of rubles. This was his own money, and he did it to save the life of the wine man who fainted. And the man who stole the money, he just couldn't believe it. A stranger out of nowhere is giving his own money to save the life of that man. Now at first, the man who found the money, who really stole it, was feeling guilty. Uh-oh, I took this money and it's making this man to be fainting all the time and his life is in danger. But he still didn't do anything to give it back. He still held on to it. And it was the stingy man, who we're calling the stingy man, who saved his life. Well, the crowd went home. The wine man went back with his wine. And the man who stole the money went home. And you know what? At first he thought, with all that money that he took, he's going to buy all kinds of stuff and enjoy himself and have a good time. But he felt guilty. He felt terrible. Every time he looked at that bag, he remembered what he did. And he couldn't even open the bag to spend any of the money. And at nighttime, he couldn't sleep. And in the daytime, he could not eat. And he was nervous the whole time. And he was sweating the whole time. And he was shaking the whole time. And he could not even open the bag to spend any of that money. And then he decided, I can't live like this. My life is worse than before. I thought the money was going to make me happy. It's ruining my life. There's only one thing to do, to give it back. And who am I going to give it back to? The wine man got his money already. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to find that man who came out of nowhere to give the money from his own money. And I heard him say, he was from Bedichev, I'm going to go find that man in the city or the town of Bedichev and give him back the money. And he traveled all the way to Bedichev, and he went to the beautiful, nice, big house of the stingy man. And he knocks on the door, and he goes in, and he says, do you remember a few weeks ago in the faraway city by the wine store, You gave that money to the wine man who kept fainting? And the man says, the stingy man says, yes, I gave him the money. And the other man says, I'm the one who found the money. And I took it, and I was there, and I saw what you did. And now I would like to return to you the money. I would like to give you the money that you should have. Please take it. And he takes out the bag of money. And the stingy man says, no, no, I don't want to take this money. And the other man says, what do you mean? You gave your own money. Take this money, it'll pay you back. And the stingy man says, I didn't do it for money. I did it for the mitzvah. The man was in danger of his life, and by giving him the money, I saved his life. And I want the mitzvah more than I want the money. I did it for the mitzvah. And now I have the mitzvah of helping another yid and even saving his life. I would not trade that for any money in the world. And the other man says, but yes, but take this money. I don't want to take the money. You should have given it at the time that you found it. And you would have had the mitzvah of giving back the money and helping the man. But you didn't do it. It's too late. I don't have to take the money from you. And the other man wanted to give the money, and the stingy man didn't want. And then they said, let's go to Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev, and he'll figure out what we have to do. And sure enough, they went to Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev, and he said that the stingy man, I don't like calling him the stingy man, because he really wasn't stingy, but we'll just use that so we know who he was. I mean, we have a name for him. He does not have to accept the money if he wants just to have the mitzvah for its own sake without payment back. And so therefore, he won the first of our the first din Torah, and he did not have to take back the money. We are now going on with the second din Torah of the stingy man and Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev in that story. There was a poor man in Bedichev who could not make a living for his family. He never had enough money, and he wanted to make money for his family. He tried different jobs in Bedichev, but nothing worked out. He just did not have a good mazel, and he was not making money to make food, to get food for his kids and clothes. And one day, he was talking to someone, and he says, I need to make money for my family, and there's just no way that I'm making enough. And the man tells him, I just heard about a good way to make money, but you have to travel far, far away. There's a certain job that's open far, far away, and I'm sure that you could do it, and I even have a way to help you to get that job, and I'm sure with Hashem's help you'd make a lot of money. The only problem is you could not be at home. You'd have to be far, far away. And the poor man says, look, I've tried everything, and it's worth it that I should go far, far away, and I'll bring home the money to my family after I get the money. And my family will have enough money to live. But he says, I have to ask my wife, because I don't think she's going to like the idea that I go far, far away. But you never know, maybe she'll let me go. And he goes home, and he says to his wife, I just heard about a good way to make money. Oh, yeah, yeah, we need money. Oh, you should do that. Well, the thing is, I have to go far, far away for a while, and... Oh, no. I don't want you leaving home. If you go away, who's going to take care of me and give me money while you're away? I need money to buy food every day and for, you know, all the things that the kids need. And if you go away, who's going to give me money? I can't let you go away to work. I need you to be at home, you know. I don't want you to go away from me. And I need help in the house, and I need you to take care of the kids. And if you're not here, I'll be all by myself. I don't want you to go far away. Yeah, but if I go far away, I'll make a lot of money. But I don't want you to go away, far away. I want you to be at home. Yeah, but I can't be at home and make money at the same time. Nah, I don't want you to go. Yeah, but if you go away, who's going to make money? Who's going to give you money? Well, as the time went on, he found out more about the job, and it sounded very good. But his wife would not let him go. Until he just couldn't stand it anymore because, you know, he wants to make his wife happy and be home, but he also wants to make his wife happy and his kids and get money for them instead of not having enough bread to eat. And the job sounded very good. So one day he did something which wasn't exactly a good thing to do, but I guess the man was in such a pickle. I don't mean the kind of pickle you're eating with the French fries, but he was in a very tough situation. This is what he did. He says to his wife, you know, I found out about a certain job, and in fact, I took the job because this way I could go away and you would have enough money that even if I was away, you'd have plenty of money to live on. How can you go away and I should have money at the same time? And he says, you know the rich man, the one they call the stingy man, but he's a very rich man. Oh, I know who he is. Yeah, he's got a lot of different like factories and businesses. Well, he needs a salesman to go far away to work for him. And he chose me to be the salesman to go far away and sell things for him. Yeah, but what about me if you go far away? No, he said like this. You know where his office is? You know on that nice street? Yeah, I know where his office is. Well, over there in the office is a secretary, and the secretary is in charge of the money. He said that you should go every Thursday, because Thursday is near Shabbos, and you go shopping on Thursday, right? Well, yeah, I go shopping on Thursday. Okay, every Thursday, you will go to the office and the secretary will give you 100 rubles. 100 rubles? Oh, that's a lot of money. Yes, 100 rubles a week. It'll last you for the whole week until the next Thursday. And you will get money just like I'm working here, even though I'm going far away. You mean if you go away and you'll be working for the rich man, even though you're far away, I'll still get money here and I'll be able to have money to live on while you're away? Yes, he says, just go to the secretary in the office every Thursday and you'll get 100 rubles a week. Oh, okay, that's wonderful. I'll let you go. And I hope everything will be okay. Kenelach, everything sounds wonderful, but unfortunately, is this a true thing or is this a Baba Maisa? This is a Baba Maisa that he's telling his wife in order that he should be able to go away to take the other job. Now, of course, it's not good to say Baba Maisas, and it's not good to say things that are not true, and probably this whole thing, you know, is going to cause a lot of trouble, as we're going to see. But I guess the man was in a real pickle, in a difficult situation, and he just wanted to do anything possible to be able to get away, to be able to get money. And I guess he thought that it would be worthwhile when he comes home that he'd have money for his family. The man packed his stuff and he left, said goodbye to his kiddies and his wife, and he went far, far away, Kindalach. What happened with him, we'll find out. But let's find out what happened on Thursday. Thursday, the woman goes to the office of the stingy man. And she walks in and she goes over to the secretary and she says, I'm here. Oh yeah, who are you? I'm the wife of the new worker who went far, far away, and I came to get my 100 rubles. What? What 100 rubles? For what? You're supposed to give me 100 rubles today because my husband went far, far away to work for your boss. So I want the 100 rubles right now. The secretary says, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're saying. And my husband told me that on Thursday I will come to this office and you'll give me 100 rubles. Now what's the problem? My husband is working far, far away and I have to get 100 rubles for my family. So where's the 100 rubles? And the secretary says, hey, I have no idea. There's no such thing as your husband who's written down working for my boss. And there's no such thing as I'm supposed to give you 100 rubles. And there's no such thing. And maybe you had a dream last night. And the lady starts to cry and scream, I have to have the 100 rubles or else my family will starve. Now, in the next room was the office of the stingy man, the boss, and he listened and he heard what was going on, and he came out and he knew who this lady was and he knew who her husband was because they lived in Berdichev, and he was a smart man, and right away he figured out what had happened. He understood what had happened, and as the woman was screaming and crying, he went over to the secretary and he says, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you that I have a new worker. He went far, far away. It's this woman's husband. And you should give her every Thursday 100 rubles. I'm sorry, I've been so busy, I forgot to tell you. And of course, the secretary did exactly what she was told, what the secretary was told to do. The secretary, of course, gave the money right away. And the lady calmed down and she was very happy. And every Thursday she came and she got her money, and this lasted a few weeks and a few months, a long, long time. Her husband had gone far away to a completely different job, and he was very matzliach, which means he was very successful and he made a lot of money, and he now was ready to come home with his money that he made. And he was very, Baruch Hashem, successful at what he had gone to do. But now he was very afraid. He's going to come home. And what's going to happen when he comes home? Because how was his wife and family living for all of these months while he was away? But he felt he had to do it. And maybe now the money that he has will calm them down. He expected to go in the house and find a very not good situation, that everybody will be upset at him and his wife will be screaming and probably the kids will be hungry and who knows what's going to happen when he gets home. But he hopes that with the money that he's got, everything will be okay. And now he comes close to his house and now he goes and he knocks on the door and all of a sudden, one of his kids comes to the door to open it. Oh, Tati, Baruch Hashem, you're home. And Tati, the first thing notices, the child has very nice new clothes on and new shoes. He was used to torn clothes and falling apart shoes, or maybe one shoe. And he walks into the house, and he was used to his broken down furniture, and all of a sudden he sees nice furniture. And everything looked nice in the house. Am I in the right house? This is my child. It must be in the right house. Everything looks so nice. What's going on? And all of a sudden, his kids come running, and all of them are dressed so nicely. And then his wife comes in, and she has a beautiful new dress on. And she's so happy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, you're home. It's so good to see you. And of course, he was so happy to see them. But he was just kind of curious exactly what in the world is going on, that everybody looks so good, everybody's so happy, and nobody's screaming at him, and nobody looks hungry. In fact, they look better than they ever did. And after all the hellos and all the nice greetings and cushies, he asks his wife, how was everything while I was away? And his wife said, Baruch Hashem, every Thursday, just like you said, I went to the office and I got 100 rubles, just like you said, and Baruch Hashem, everything has been just fine. We missed you and we're happy that you came home, of course, but as you went away, just like you said, we were well taken care of and we didn't have any problem. And the man didn't say anything, Kenalak, but he was so surprised. You mean you went to the office and you got 100 rubles every Thursday, just like I said? Oh yes, just like you said, of course. Just like you said. I mean, you wouldn't say anything that wouldn't be exactly right, so I did what you said, and everything happened, just like you said.